भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करोतु तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्तिः शान्तिः शान्तिः। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं कर्ता नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् श्री सद्गुरुनाथ महाराज की जय। Just studying Jnana Sara, and right now we have been looking at the journey of that jiva who has progressed from being bound to becoming karma yogin, mumukshu, jignyasu. He's seeking liberation through knowledge. He did guru upasati, he formally approached the guru. He did guru seva. He did service towards the guru. Guru thought it fit for him to ask questions. So he has asked 5 questions in Sloka 5. Who am I? What is this world? Who is Bhagawan? What is the purpose of my life? From where have I come? And then Guru in Sloka 7 started to respond that you are not Anatma. Anatma is drishyam. Anatma is seen. And what is the nature of that which is seen? It is jada. It is inert or insentient. It is vikari. It is subject to the 6 modifications. Since it is subject to 6 modifications, it is also Vinashi. It is subject to destruction. Therefore, body dies. Mind can become deteriorated. Intellect can become deteriorated with all mental health issues and so on. And finally, it is Mrsha. It is not even real. That which is seen is only an appearance. It is not actually there, like the snake on the roof. It is experienced, yes. Is it real? No. So that which is anatma has all of these different attributes. It is not me. So then we have to analyze what falls into this category of mrsha. Of anatma. And when we analyze, we realize that every single thing, body, mind, intellect, this entire world comes into that category of anatma. It comes into the category of drishyam. It has all these attributes of jada, vinashi, vikari, etc. It is not me. I don't need to be disturbed by it anymore. See, that is the problem, right? It is that we are disturbed by anatma. When this body gets sick, I am disturbed. When my loved ones perish, I am disturbed. When mind deteriorates, again we are disturbed. I am drashta. I am atma, the seer. I am not the seen. And this Atma is Chiti Swabhavaha. It is of the nature of consciousness, of the nature of knowledge. And it is never bound. Ignorance cannot exist there. Therefore, it is never bound. It is ever liberated. Means I am ever liberated. Not it. Not it as an object, but I am ever liberated. When does this liberation take place? Liberation doesn't actually take place because I was never bound to begin with, right? But if we have to say liberation takes place at this time, then iha bhavati, right here, right now. As long as, or as soon as I understand that I am Atma, right here, right now, I am liberated. Not any point in time in the future. Of course, there is things like krama mukti, sequential liberation, and things like that. But even there, once you realize I am Atma, that liberation is instantaneous. Krama mukti, that topic comes up in Bhagavad. This means I, Atma, I am ever liberated. I was never bound to begin with. Then in the eighth shloka, Guru said that I am Sakshi. I am the witness of Akhila Lok, of all 14 worlds, because Atma illumines the intellect of all beings in all 14 worlds. Of this world, I am the Paramashraya. I am the ultimate supreme substratum. Knowing in this way that Viveki, that person who is on this path, he becomes liberated, Siddha, here and now. We chant shloka number 9. अहमेव तत्त्वं जगदाश्रयं यत् भिन्नं यतः सर्वमाभासमात्रम् कुतो भयं मे परमार्थदर्शिनः। ह्यहं परानन्दस्वरूप एव द गुरु टेल्स अस दैट अहमेव तत्त्वम्, आई एम दैट एसेंस। दिस वाज आल्सो मेड इन श्रीमद् भगवद् गीता इन चैप्टर 7। From shlokas 8 to 11, Bhagwan said, I am the sapidity in water. I am the strength of the strong. I am the light in the sun and moon. I am the brilliance in fire, right? I am the essence of this entire creation. Why? Because I am Ashrayam. I am Jagadashrayam. I am the supporter. I am the substratum. For example, the essence of clay pot is clay. Why is it the essence? Because it is the substratum. It is the material cause. Like that, Bhagawan said, I am the cause of this universe, and therefore, I am the substratum of this universe, and therefore I am the essence of this universe. However, as the student of Vedanta, it is not that Bhagavan is the essence of the universe, it is that I, Atma, essence of the universe. This is the shift in knowledge between a bhakta and a jnani. The bhakta understands Bhagavan is the cause and essence and substratum of the universe. The jnani understands I am that Atma, which is the essence of universe as the substratum. This is the knowledge we have to understand. An example is given of the dream world, because we may ask, how is it even possible for one thing or one being to be the essence of the universe or the substratum of the universe. It happens to us all the time in the state of dream. Every single night we go to bed and we have that dream, we become the essence of our own dream world. The entire world is me. I who am present in the world, in the dream, that is me. The tiger who is present in the dream, who is chasing after me, that tiger is also me. The forest in which we are running, that forest is also me. Right? The entire dream world, I am the creator. Both causal as well as material cause as well as efficient cause. And therefore, I pervade the entire dream world. Like that, as Atma, I pervade this entire creation. I am the substratum of the entire creation. I am the essence of this entire universe. Yataha bhinnam. Anything that is different. Anything that is distinct from Atma. Sarvam abhasa matram. It is all an abhasa. It is an appearance. It is nothing but an appearance. It is an illusion. Now, when we say something is an illusion, we don't mean it is non-existent. Okay? There is a difference between an appearance or illusion from that which is absolutely not existent. Something which is non-existent, was not there, is not there, will never be there. Like the horns on my head. Right, there's a classic example. It's not my example, right? Like the horns on my head, it is absolutely not there. Another example that is given is the barren woman's son. He can never come into existence, right? However, an illusion is or appearance is that which has been experienced, but actually is not there. For example, the snake on the rope. When you walk into the room and you see the coil in the dimly lit room, you have seen a snake. You have experienced a snake. You feel the fear. You experience the fear that has come about. But that does not mean that that snake is real. It was experienced for sure. The illusion or appearance was experienced, but it is not a reality. Another example is the dream. You can't deny the experience of your dream. In your dream, that dream was real. When you wake up, you realize it was not real. But did you experience it? Absolutely. Did you feel the fear? Absolutely. Did you run in the dream? Yes, I did. Right? So the experience is there, but upon waking up, we know it was not a reality. That is called illusion. That which was experienced, but is not a reality. That is an illusion or appearance. This is what the guru is telling us. Right now, we feel like we are experiencing this world. And we feel like it is real, as though it is real. Guru is trying to wake us up and tell us, yes, you have been experiencing this world. Because that is our first question. How can you say this world is unreal? I am experiencing it. So Guru says, yes, you are experiencing it, but that does not mean it is a reality. It is an appearance. It is an illusion. I don't deny your experience, but you understand it is an illusion. Shloka in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, shloka number 69. Bhagavan says, from the standpoint of the Jivan Mukta, the rest of the world is asleep. And from the standpoint of the world, as though he is asleep, means he is asleep to all of these appearances. He is understanding everything as Atma. But we are asleep to that Atma. Means we are unaware, we are ignorant. So everything is abhasa matra. Me paramartha darshinaha. To me, who is the knower of paramartha, the knower of the absolute reality, kutaha bhayam, where is the scope of fear? Where can fear arise? There is no fear. It is a rhetorical question. Means there is no fear. See, in Bhagavad Gita chapter 2 again, Bhagavan points out that the cause of bhaya and shoka, the cause of fear and grief, is moha, is ignorance. Ignorance is the cause of fear and grief. Ignorance that I am Atma, right? When I am ignorant of the fact that I am Atma, the effect is grief and fear. So if I have corrected that, if I have gained knowledge and I understand that I am Atma, so the cause of fear and grief have been removed, then the effect will also be removed, right? So no fear, no grief can be there where there is knowledge. See, what is fear and how does it arise? Fear is a fear of change. Whether it is in the form of diseased body, death, whatever you, however you want to categorize it, but we are fearful of change. When I understand that I am Atma, which is Sat Swarupa, I am of the nature of existence. In me, I means I am that Atma which is avikari. No change is possible. Avinashi. No destruction is possible. Then where will fear come? Right? I am not subject to any form of modification or even destruction. So no change can happen. Then where is the possibility of fear? Ahamhi Parananda Swarupa Eva. Therefore, I am of the nature of supreme absolute bliss. Shloka 10. Mudhastu ragi vishayeshu nityam. Vivekinasteshu viraga eva. आश्चर्यमेतत् खलु तत्त्ववेत्ता वैराग्यभावेऽप्यधुना विरक्तः सो दिस इज दी श्लोक डिस्क्राइबिंग परम वैराग्य Parama Vairagya, the highest nature of dispassion. So he says, Guru says, Moodha, a deluded person, he is ragi, he is attached. What is he attached to? Vishaya, all Sense objects, what we call an object, place, time, people, experiences. He is attached to all of them. When Nityam, Nityam Ragi he is. All the time he is attached. Means in the waking state, this fellow is attached. In the dream state, he is also attached. We dream all of the things, right? Whatever I have been thinking about during the day, that only comes in the dream and the at night. That shows the level of attachment that we have. But here, Ragi also includes Dvesha. So it is not only attachment, it is also aversion. Because I have dreams about that as well. So, because we are deluded, that gives rise to attachments as well as aversions. Both raga and dvesha are there. They are there because of this moha, because of ignorance. I who am Atma, which is Sukhaswarupam, I am of the nature of joy. Because I don't know that, I don't know I am Sukhaswarupam, I look outside for my joy in all Vishayas. And what happens? Some of them I like, so I keep going after them until I become dependent on them. That is Raga. And some of them I absolutely don't like. So what I do, I keep them away from me. That is Dvesha. On the other hand, that person who is doing right thinking, he is detached. Teshu viragaha eva. He has become detached. How did he become detached? Because he did viveka. This vairagya, this dispassion, is not born from dislike. This topic comes up in Tattva Bodha. Puja Swami Tejomananda ji, he described what vairagya is not. And there he said that detachment, which is born from dislike, is not detachment. Vairagya has to be born from viveka only. Right thinking. What is called as pratipaksha bhavana. Pratipaksha bhavana means I see both sides. There where I have raga attachment, I have to see all the defects. There where I have dvesha, aversion, I have to include Bhagawan. Then only I will start to love in the right way. Called pratipaksha bhavana, seeing both sides. That type of thinking, that vision is what will produce vairagya. So vairagya has to be cultivated from viveka. Proper thinking. Then only we get rid of both raga and dvesha. See, vairagya is not only getting rid of attachments. Vairagya means getting rid of both raga and dvesha. Right? Because I cannot give up attachment and keep all the dislike in my heart. That ain't going to work. Right? We have to give up both. So vairagya does not mean it is born from dislike. Vairagya also does not mean that I do not love. Right? We are supposed to love. That is the whole purpose of bhakti yoga only. Right? But loving in the right way. Loving without attachments. That is pure love. That is the love of a guru. That is the love of Bhagwan. That is the kind of love we have to develop. How to love without having attachment. So do not misunderstand Vairagya to mean stone-hearted, cold-hearted kind of person. That is not so. Look at Puja Gurudev. His heart was so giant, was huge. Look at Puja Swami Tejomayananda Ji. They love everybody. They know everybody. They remember everybody. Right? A lot of love is there, but no attachment is there. That is how we need to love. Ashcharyametat khalu. This is the greatest wonder. What that the Tattva Veta, the knower of truth, Vairagya Bhave Api Adhuna Virakta. That the knower of truth, he is dispassionate from even dispassion itself. The knower of truth is dispassionate towards dispassion. What does that mean? He has Vairagya from Vairagya. Vairagya as a quality belongs to Ahankara. Vairagya is a sadhana to gain liberation. Once I am liberated, I can drop the dispassionate Ahankara. I can also drop Vairagya as a sadhana. Because the Jivan Mukta is dispassionate by nature. The result of his knowledge is dispassion itself. So he does not need dispassion as a sadhana. He is already, means that result is there. And he does not need the Ahankara who is Vairagi, because he is not Ahankara. He is Atma. So once liberation is there, I can drop the Vairagi Ahankara as well as Vairagya as a sadhana, as a means, because the goal is already achieved. So I can drop the means. I don't need it anymore. It is like you take up a spoon to stir the pot to cook. Once the food is prepared, you don't hold on to the spoon and go walking all over the place, right? You put it in the sink and drop it. The purpose for which you took up the spoon has been fulfilled. So now drop it, let it go. Why hold on to it? Right? Like that. Did I skip? No, right? I didn't skip.
No, right now do it.
Wait and
Wait on the other.
द्वैतं यदा भेदभावस्तदैव रागो विरागस्तथाहं ममेति लीनं परिक्रमणिमानसं यदा कथं प्रवृत्तिश्च कथं निवृत्तिः परमवैराग्य अगेन एक्सप्लेन्ड हाउ डिड दिस पैशन फॉर दिस पैशन अराइज तो श्लोक 10 वाज एक्सप्लेनिंग दी highest nature of dispassion means it is explaining what Parama Vairagya is. Now this shloka is explaining how did we develop Parama Vairagya? How did it arise? So the Acharya, Swami Tejomayananda Ji, he goes one step back. Yada Dvaitam. when there is duality, and how did duality arise? Because of ignorance. That dvaitam, the cause of it is ignorance about advaitam. Right? When that happens, when I am ignorant about oneness, that leads to the misapprehension and duality becomes the focus. Misapprehension that there are two things, me and other. So means what is me, and then everything else will fall into the category of other. That is dvaitam. Tada eva bhedabhavah. Here is duality, then naturally bhedabhavana will be there. The attitude that there is bheda, there is distinction. And what is the distinction? Me and other. So the sense of I-ness is there, and the sense of otherness is there. A distinction is created between me and you. And that bheda bhavana expresses as raga, viraga, aham, and mama. That distinction expresses as raga, attachment, viraga. But here, viraga doesn't mean vairagya. Here, viraga means dvesha. Again, this is why we need guru. So, guru to tell us that here, don't misunderstand viraga to mean detachment. Here, viraga means the absence of raga, which is dvesha, aversion. Aham, the notions of I, and mama, the notions of mine. So, in me, I have notion of aham. This is me. This is who I am. And in my possessions, my belongings, my people, we have mama. Mamakara. This is my people. This is my belongings. All of these distinctions will be there. Why? Because of dvaitam. Why is dvaitam there? Because of ignorance about advaita. When distinctions are there, we start to attach labels to things. I like this. I don't like that. This is mine, that is yours. Right? Those distinctions arise. However, so now he is telling how dispassion for dispassion arise. Yada manasam pare brahmani leenam. When the mind of that jiva, means the sadhaka, when or of the siddha, the established person, when his mind is leenam, it is completely and totally immersed, absorbed in what? Pare Brahmani, in Parabrahman. When this mind, intellect, antahkarana becomes absorbed in Parabrahman, mind never swerves from that knowledge. I am Brahman. I am Atma. How many Atmas are there? One. Where will the Bheda Bhavana come from then? There is Advaitam. There is oneness. Where will the notion of distinction arise? So this Siddha, his mind is absorbed in the knowledge. I am Brahman, I am Atma, there is one Atma. That mind is never swerved, is never distracted from the variety of the world. He has understood that that variety which is being experienced is an appearance. It has no impact. Like the dream, when I wake up, that dream no longer has impact on me. In the dream, I feel fear. I experience fear. When I wake up, do I still experience fear? No. It will become ridiculous at that point if I am still afraid or if I'm still running. Right? I'm running from a dream tiger. So when mind is absorbed totally and completely in that knowledge, that mind is no longer having this bheda bhavana, no distinctions are there. And whatever variety of the world which is experienced, he understands that experience is an appearance. It is mithya. It is mrsha. It is an illusion. It is abhasa matram. Then, katham pravritti? Where does the question of engagement arise? Means doing, engaging in action. And katham nivritti? Where does the question of not doing arise? So you have karma and akarma. When do we engage in karma or akarma? Because both are there. Doing and not doing. Not doing means what? Laziness. I'm not doing something out of sheer laziness. But even that not doing has arisen out of a desire. Both come out of desire. Either I desire something or I desire to not do something. I want to be. That is a desire only. When we have desires, then there is engagement. Then I run and do something. Then there is some kind of activity or inactivity. Why? Because of a desire. Where did the desire come from? Desire came because I am ignorant. I don't know that I am Atma, which is Purna. Purna means complete. I don't know I am Atma, which is Purna. I don't know I am complete. I think I am incomplete. I think something is missing, and so therefore, desires crop up. When desires come, then I engage in some activity. Now let's reverse it, right? If and when I know I am Atma, which is complete, I am tripta. I am content. In me, I am lacking nothing, missing nothing. I am content. Where will the question of desire come up? I don't need anything. I don't miss anything. I am full. I am complete. So no desire is coming. Then what activity could be there? There's nothing to push me into doing or not doing. Because I know I am complete, I am content. Contentment means no desires are there. If no desires are there, where is the question of engagement? Where is the question of activity or inactivity? Therefore, no, I am Atma. How Vairagya, Parama Vairagya arose. He understands I am Atma, which is Purna. I am complete. I am tripta. काम रहित, देयरफॉर नो कर्म ओ अकर्म। आई डोंट हैव टू सीक समथिंग टू बिकम फुलफिल्ड, आई ऑलरेडी एम फुलफिल्ड। नाउ द बद्ध हैज बिकम द मुक्त। सो जीवन मुक्ति इज एक्सप्लेन इन श्लोक नंबर 12। कार्याकार्य भयान मुक्तः, लाभालाभेषु यस्तमः, जीवन्नेव समुक्तो वै, नित्यबुद्धो न संशयः। So from bondage, he has graduated all the way up to liberation. And this is the journey of the Jiva. Now, what I was explaining, I think yesterday, this transition, this progress does not happen in a few hours, a few months, a few years. It takes few lifetimes. So mukti is difficult. Mukti requires tremendous amount of effort and sincere effort, but it is not impossible. Right? So what is this Jivan Mukti? Yaha karya akarya bhayat muktaha. He is free from all fears of doing and not doing. What that means is, as ajnani, not a jnani, as ajnani, as ignorant person, we think that when I do good actions, I get punyam, I get nice good, happiness. If I do adharma, I will get papam, I will get low birth, dukkham. So out of fear, we stay away from all adharma and we perform all dharma, which is not necessarily a bad thing from the standpoint of the ajnani. Means I'd rather do punya than papa, right? I'd rather do dharma than adharma. But from the standpoint of the Jivan Mukta, why even bother? Right? So he is not afraid of dharma, adharma, punya, papa. Because he knows that dharma, adharma, punya, papa, all of them belong to ahankara. I am not ahankara. I am atma, which is akarta, abhukta. I am not the doer. I am not the enjoyer. I am not the performer of dharma adharma. I am not the enjoyer of punya papa. So no fear is there of greater or lesser birth, because this fellow, means this Jiva Mukta, this is his last life. No rebirth will be there. Now, it does not mean Jivan Mukta will do adharma, okay? Already lived such a pure life, noble life, he is not going to anyway do adharma. What it means, however, is if by mistake, on accident, unintentionally, some adharma is there. Say, for example, he's walking and some ant he crushed. That is not going to give rise to papa fall. Right? Something unintentional is there that will not cause any future phalam. Same also for punya. Whatever dharma he does, That doesn't go to him anymore. In Tattvabodha, this comes up. Bhagwan Adi Shankaracharya ji, he explained very clearly that the punya of Jivan Mukta goes to the disciples, and the papa of the Jivan Mukta goes to all the people who criticize him, who do not serve him. Therefore, serve everybody because you don't know who is Jivan Mukta or not. Right? Labha alabha, labha alabheshu samaha. He is equipoised when it comes to gain and loss. Whether success is there or failure is there, both are received with a balanced mind, samatvam. This is the result of knowledge. Now, samatvam comes both as a sadhana as well as a result of knowledge. For example, in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan says, you know, when you are performing your duties, perform your duties with this kind of samatvam, with this kind of equipoise, that whatever comes as phalam, I am okay. If victory is there, defeat is there, I should be equipoise. It there, it is a sadhana. He's telling to Arjuna. But samatvam is also a result. That also is explained in Bhagavad Gita in chapter 6. Actually, it comes several times, but in chapter 6, it comes in three shlokas, 7, 8, 9. How to be samam with respect to object, with respect to victory and loss, with respect to people. Right? So, samatvam, equipoise, can be both a sadhana as well as a phalam of jivan mukti. When it is a sadhana, we have to actively practice it. I have to remember in my mind at this point in time, please don't get disturbed when there is loss or gain. I have to, it is an active practice that I have to engage in. The result of knowledge, it is a natural state. It is an effortless state. I don't have to do something at that point. I just am equipoise. Here, this samam, samaha, is the result of knowledge. It is not a sadhana. Because Jivan Mukti is being described, right? In this shloka, so it is the result of knowledge. And so therefore, this samatvam, it is natural, it is effortless. Because I know I am Atma, success and failure belongs to Ahankara. Sahajivan eva muktaha. He is called as Jivan Mukta. He is liberated while alive. Vainitya buddhaha. He is ever enlightened. Na samshayaha. So na samshayaha means there is no doubt. There is no doubt about two things. Means there is no doubt that this person, this jiva, is now liberated. And the second thing is, he has no doubt. His knowledge is clear. His knowledge that I am Atma is Pashtam. It is very clear. So, na samshayaha means he has no doubt in his knowledge. And second meaning is that he is liberated, there is no doubt. Both meanings are there. Now, the Phalashruti. What is the result of this knowledge? Shloka number 13. So, from Shloka 13 until the rest of the text is the Phalashruti. It is the result of knowledge. So, now the Shishya is telling. Shishya Uvacha.
यदि तज्जगद्दुःखरूपं पुरासीत्
तदेवाधुनानन्दरूपं हि भाति अशक्यं मतं यत्कृतं येन कार्यम् पुरुं तं पुनर्वै नमामि नमामि सो शिष्य उवाच डिसाइपल सेज मीन्स दिस जीवन मुक्ता इज टेलिंग पुरा अर्लियर यदेतत् जगत् दुःख रूपम् आसीत् अर्लियर एट द टाइम ऑफ इग्नोरेंस अविद्या काल At the time of ignorance, this world I thought was full of sorrow. Jagat dukkha rupam. This world is full of sorrow. I thought this way. When I was ignorant. Because I don't know, I did not know that I am Atma, which is Ananda Swarupa. And that led me to have desires. And those desires pushed me into activity to seek out vishayas, to seek out objects. And when I got a little bit of joy, I became dependent. But when that vishaya was taken away, was destroyed, was decayed, then I became dukhi, dukhi, dukhi. So because of ignorance, I thought this world was full of sorrow. Adhuna tadeva, now that same world, that same jagat, ananda rupam hi bhati. It is ananda rupam. It is shining with joy, glowing with ananda. Because now I have understood I am sukhatvarupa, I am Ananda Swarupa Atma. And also, Yat Karyam, that work, Ashakyam Matam, I thought was impossible to accomplish. I thought Jivan Mukti was impossible to accomplish. On my own, that is true. On my own, Moksha is impossible. Because there is no independent study. Yena Guruna, Guruna with is not here, we supply. Yena Guruna Kritam. That work which I thought was impossible to accomplish, that liberation, that work was accomplished by my Guru. That Guru ensured I am liberated. Therefore, Tam Guru, to that Guru, Punaha vai namami namami. Again and again, I offer salutations, prostrations, I do namaskara out of gratitude. Because of that guru, transmigration is no longer there for me. Because of that guru, dukham is no longer there for me. Because of that guru, I am no longer disturbed mentally. Kritagnyata of the student, gratitude of the student. So again and again, I do namaskar. Now, how does that kritagnyata manifest? Later on, he will say, I do guru seva. Guru seva is in the form of teaching. I have to share that knowledge. I have to become that part of the guru parampara. Right now we're learning in the higher grade, we are learning that Guru Parampara. And the very last lecture, the very last session that I'm going to have with them is, what is your role in that Parampara as a student? Because the Parampara is what? Guru Shishya Parampara. I am the Shishya. So what is my role in that lineage? That I also have to know, right? I can't just know who my gurus are. I have to understand that I also have a responsibility. So that we will explore tomorrow. की जय। ओम पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ओम शांति शांति शांति। हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम श्री सद्गुरुनाथ महाराज की जय। हरि ओम। थैंक यू ऑल फॉर ज्वाइनिंग एंड आई विल सी यू ऑल टुमारो।
जस्ट